Hello and welcome. The WrestleMania preview is here. Thank you for tuning in to That Guy's Wrestling Podcast. It is the third episode, and I started this podcast just in time for WrestleMania. I'm going to do the preview episode to discuss what I think is going to happen, and I'm not doing it alone. I have my very charming, handsome, and well-educated brother, Dave Van Auken from Fight Bananas.
The absolute best intro you have ever done in your life, so I'm going to take it. We could end the show with that good of an intro. We could end it.
All right, that's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'll see you next time.
All right, I think I got McIntyre. Good night. Bye.
So how's it going, Dave?
Man, it's going great, dude. It's, you know, for one, all of us in the world are kind of dealing with the whole coronavirus effect and everything. So to be blunt, it's kind of been cool. You know, hey, we're staying at home. The family's staying at home. And we're just spending a lot of quality time together and just doing a lot of home stuff. And, you know, it's just cool. You know, I think we got the twin girls here that are new. So it's been a great time. And it's, you know, that's one thing that I'm kind of excited about and not excited about. And I guess I want to get into that after you kind of drop an intro or whatever you want to start with this whole WrestleMania thing. There's just, I need anything to watch, man. I'm tired of watching the Tiger King. I'm just, I can't do it anymore, you know?
Thank you very much. I'm glad you say that. And honestly, I just paused the Tiger King. I'm on the last episode. But you're right. I do need something else. And I'm so glad that you're on that. And I was going to talk about this a little into the show, but I'll lead off with it. So I've had some very solid discussions with some people about whether or not WrestleMania should go on. And there is a very vocal, and I'm thinking more of a vocal minority, who just is like, oh, this is the worst thing ever, and Vince is inhumane, and I can't believe they're still doing it. They should have canceled it and stopped it. And I'm so against that idea. And for one, they always seem to, the conversation always seems to say, Vince McMahon, WWE, they all, well, AEW is running their show as well. And it never seems to be both. You know, it's always one or the other that people seem to be canceled. And I'm so glad they are both giving us anything. They're giving us something. You couldn't cancel them. I'm so glad they're both doing it. And like you said, we definitely needed, you know, something other than the Tiger King to watch. So I am very, very glad that we are, in fact, doing, you know, we're getting WrestleMania. So, yeah, way to bring that up. The world is, you know, yeah, it's unique. You mentioned being home with the family. I love it. I love this family time. But I'm also a school teacher, as I've mentioned, and I have to now try and acclimate myself to teaching in an online world to, you know, to kind of keep everybody safe. All new challenges are presenting itself. And I'm very glad that I've got two nights of WrestleMania to kind of, you know, give me a relief from that. So,
yeah,
go ahead. Yeah,
I do agree with that. And, you know, I did say it. I'm so excited without football and basketball and all other sports. And we're hoping, you know, we're missing a lot of MMA. Three events got canceled. We're really hoping for UFC 249 to happen in a couple weeks. I am so happy that it is happening. It gives me something to do two nights in a row. We'll get into that, I guess, later on too. It's too big for one night. The latter though, and every positive, there's a negative, and every negative, there's a positive. Dude, like last night on ESPN, bro, they had ESPN WrestleMania 32, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And the card was okay. It was a decent one, not one of their best, but probably they showed the. It was The Rock was like the host or something, and then Bray Wyatt came back, and then John Cena came back, and the crowd was just awesome. Like, you know, and you and I think are both Cena guys, and it probably drives us crazy that the people in his prime were so hateful towards him and so you know, had so much animosity. But when Cena came out on that one, WrestleMania 32, the crowd popped tremendously. So there is a huge side of me that's like, wow, like we're just not going to get that. We're not going to get any of those moments at all. Even the matches, like, you know, I joked about it. I'm getting really excited for McIntyre. I don't know why. There was like a really cool 2-minute video on Twitter with him training and he's yelling Brock Lesnar. It literally looked like Rocky IV, him and Drago. It was awesome. I'm like, cool, I can't wait. And yeah, I think he's going to win. He's going to kick it. There's a spoiler alert at the end, I guess. And I just don't think we're going to get that moment that we should get. So it's a little sad. It's a little, different. But hey, at least we're going to watch it. At least we are going to go forward with the event.
Oh no. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not thrilled that there is no crowd. I'm not saying it's going to be the same thing. And postponing it wouldn't have worked. I discussed it on the last episode. Trying to pause, just stop and pause storylines wouldn't work. And I'm happy they're giving us, you know, something instead of nothing. And I do feel bad. And we'll talk about that as we get to some of the specific matches, some of the potential moments that we think are going to happen. It isn't the same. It isn't the same for all of these wrestlers. I mean, this is their Super Bowl. This is their chance to be on the biggest stage of their industry. And yeah, they'll be seen by, you know, many, many millions of people. But yeah, there's nothing like performing these matches in front of a live audience. Now, every week, every episode, I like to start with something that I liked that happened in the world of pro wrestling. And now it's great. This was a really great segue talking about no crowds because, yeah, the matches themselves without a crowd just aren't the same. But the promos last week on Monday Night Raw were phenomenal. And I'm going to highlight and focus specifically on both Randy Orton and Seth Rollins. And there was something about their promos, setting up their matches, that they were able to just really nail what they did and what they said and how they said it. And I think in this case, not having the crowd really actually helped them. So this was a rare chance, that not having the crowd was the bonus. These are two guaranteed Hall of Famers already, obviously, who both excel at being heels. They're both better at bad guys. It was great last year at WrestleMania watching Rollins dethrone the Beast, but he's still so much better as a bad guy. He really showed us that in his speech and his promo against Kevin Owens on Monday. So what is your take on that? And what is something that you possibly enjoyed from the last week or so of professional wrestling?
Wow. Very cool that you asked me that. Cause when you said those two, when you were saying all the intro, what you liked about the week, I listened to the episode, I think it was episode one, and you talked about how you love the SmackDown tag team, kind of their segment. It was The Miz making fun of the Usos. It was great. It was like 2 weeks ago, I think. And I'm going to stick right there. The main event of SmackDown was the Usos and the New Day. They wrestled each other 37 times, and I'm one of those guys. I like cheesecake. Just give me cheesecake every night. I'm fine with it. I'm a simple guy. Give me Taco Bell. You know that for lunch. The Usos and New Day is amazing. Give it to me every week. I'm fine with it. And then Miz and Morrison was on commentary. They were so funny and great. And then it was like they all of course they got into it at the end. And you know there's going to be now a triple threat ladder match at WrestleMania. So like I was all in. I thought that was it was a great match. And out of the 2 weeks of the Performance Center-ish shows, that was the absolute best match that I saw. And then probably the last little thing was, it wasn't this week, and so odd, and I don't know if you hit on it, NXT, which I know you're a huge NXT guy, you go to all the events, I think it was 2 weeks ago, almost the whole show, it was like a Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, how they got into this rivalry, right? It was like all this behind-the-scenes stuff and back and forth. It was like, it was a documentary. It really was. It was just amazing work by WWE and NXT. And I was like, it was just one of those things. I forgot that I was watching a wrestling show and wrestling matches. It was just one of the amazing, you know, pieces of work that they've done in years. I loved it.
Absolutely. I mean, they do a terrific job. If there's anybody that puts on a better documentary than the Tiger King, it is the WWE. In fact, they do terrific building up stories and promos and highlighting things that have come. I can't imagine the amount of archived tape footage that these guys have to go through in order to find this and how they track it and catalog it so well. But yeah, no, you are right. It was great. And I do think that the Performance Center, the commentary, the promos, they were given a chance to to be themselves a bit more and open up and just kind of give a new layer. It was, you know, they kind of realized it was a different kind of show, and they just kind of had to try different things. I mean, I don't know if you caught Nikki Cross on commentary during the women's match last Friday night, and she had Michael Cole legitimately laughing. There was a time when they had to cut the camera away because he just couldn't handle, and she was just hilarious. It's really great giving them a chance to just kind of open up and kind of really be themselves.
Right. And last thing on the whole week or 2 weeks, the MVP, the MVP of the NBA for the last decade has been LeBron, and then Brady for football, and he just went to Tampa, and the UFC every show. And last year, George Masvidal had the best year ever. The MVP for WWE for the last 2 to 3 weeks, all this coronavirus, has absolutely been Michael Cole. He has blown me away. I've never been a Michael Cole guy. I've lived through Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler, and they were always be my commentators. And I always think of like, man, what would JR say right now? And that's why I watch AEW before NXT. So to listen to Jim Ross, he's just that guy for me. Just a childhood, attraction. But Michael Cole for 2 weeks he's just like literally been the glue and everything. And yeah, he's made me literally laugh out loud 4 or 5 times. Him and Triple H, him and Mojo Riley, him and The Miz. It's just like how he's saying stuff. Like, oh, Michael Cole has just been absolutely amazing. And
he's terrific. He really is. And I don't think he gets enough credit. I mean, he has been around for so long, and he followed Jim Ross, who obviously is great. He is terrific. And so just by kind of following after and people just missing that nostalgic, you know, combination of Ross and Lawler, he just kind of gets hated on a bit more than he should, but he really does a terrific job. And whether you need just straight up wrestling commentary, he does it. If you need him to support the good guy or the bad guy, he can kind of flip the switch from one segment to the next, wherever, you know, whatever the case may be. Yeah. So that's a great call on that. And he is really good. So, speaking of flipping the switch, let's do that. Let's dive into WrestleMania. This is going to be a preview like none other. Now, I've mentioned numerous times on both my shows and on a preview show of yours that I just don't like spoilers. So the results are out there. Probably if you dig hard enough, you could probably find who won some of these matches. I don't know. I don't want to know. And I did kind of come across the fact that WWE has potentially filmed multiple endings on some of their matches, and I think that was a terrific job. Being that spoilers are bound to leak, I think people are trying to, in this case, avoid them for the most part, but I love the fact that they did that. They filmed multiple endings, supposedly, but you never really know with them and with what rumors are true. So let's dive right in to the match that has the most compelling story of all the matches on this WrestleMania card, Otis versus Dolph Ziggler.
I couldn't agree more. Perfect sense. I couldn't agree more.
It really has been terrific. I'm so amazed. I'm so impressed by them. We won't really spend a lot of time talking about this match, but they've done such a good job. It's nice when you give, they spend some time focusing on storylines that aren't just the main event, you know, that give these lower tier guys a story, a lovable character like Otis. You know, there's nothing to not like about him. He's great. He's entertaining. Do you think that he finally gets his payback this weekend?
110%. There's just no doubt about it. The match is not it's not like the main event tier that you can have a swerve or can, oh my gosh, Dolph gets another one to kind of stretch it out. Guys, this is WrestleMania. This is supposed to be a lot of these endings of these. Yeah, they have been, there was the Valentine's date, and they've been the Royal Rumble. They helped each other. So this has been a 75-80 day process. Guys, that's paid off the right way. Let's give Otis the win. And one thing I've always thrived on with the Fight Bananas podcast and now with that Guys Wrestling podcast underneath our banner. We can right now just say Otis, you say Otis and move on. I like doing kind of, you know, opening up the discussion and thinking outside the box that hopefully other podcasts are not. And that's why people want to listen to us. And I've been seeing it, bro. They are listening to your show. The numbers don't lie. What do you think about my question to you on this is Otis is hot. You know, you kind of got lightning in the bottle here. The fans like him. Do you just say, hey, you know, WWE does not like tag teams. They love single money. Do you just ride Otis and say, hey, Tucker, you know, shoot, we're going to turn you heel. You know, maybe you can fight Otis in the next 2-4 months and gives him something to do to SummerSlam. Do you just really ride this Otis train and break this group up?
No, not at all. You know, that would be a short term fix. And more often than not, breaking up tag teams has not resulted well, especially for both. You know, there are the Edge and Christian cases. There are the Jeff and Matt Hardy cases. But you know, more often than not, breaking up the tag teams, it doesn't kind of work out as well. He is great. He is hot. Let's ride him. Let's ride them to the tag team championships. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what these guys are built for. They're a perfect tag team. You know, they're comedic, they're entertaining, they're energetic. They, you know, they're fan friendly. Give them that title, give them that push, let them run with it. You know, build off this momentum of Otis winning at WrestleMania and turn that into, you know, a tag team title push. That's where I would go with it. I kind of hope they do. If you break them up, you know, you can have Tucker be the bad guy for, you know, for a little while. But the moment that rivalry ends, he fades away and he's gone. And then, you know, Otis is hot now, but, you know, can it last?
Okay. I like it. I'm in.
So, all right. So after that match, we will, you know, I was joking, but not joking about the intensity of that rivalry. And it really is, it has been a long build. The next match I want to talk about has also had a long build this year, but built on a previous, you know, career segment of a career in Edge and Randy Orton. I don't know. How pumped were you when Edge came back in the Royal Rumble?
Oh no, really pumped. It was cool, you know, and that's one of those things. I don't know why wrestling out of all other businesses, right? No one really wants to go see. We could have Googled what happens to the Tiger King right away, but no, you want to watch it. You want to be shocked. You want to kind of go down this wave. I don't know why, but like that weekend, there was tons of stuff on Twitter about Edge traveling and putting his boots. So I thought he was going to. So that kind of hurt a little bit. But then when he did, and then you just see him in the crowd again, they got so pumped there for the Royal Rumble. It was like, oh, wow. Okay, cool. This is Edge. So, I've always been an Edge guy. You know, one of those guys, kind of a dark horse, top tier guys for a decade, and it was always, you know, Cena's and at that time Punk and Undertaker and Triple H, but Edge was like that steady guy, always the heel champion for multiple years. So, oh, huge Edge guy.
13 time champ, first ever Money in the Bank winner. I just watched that match recently. Me and you were live in that crowd in Los Angeles at WrestleMania 21. He's great. It's funny that you mentioned, you know, the rumors and this and that. And as I was watching it with my son, Cole, who eventually will get his own little segment on this show. But he noticed that after his music hit on his way down the ramp, there were multiple people in the crowd holding Edge signs. And he pointed that out. And I told him, like, you know, unfortunately, there had been rumors spreading and circulating that he possibly was going to be here at some, you know, possibly going to be in there. So people were just making these signs just in case. And I'm sure there were other ones. I'm sure there were CM Punk signs and various other, you know, potential hopeful surprises. But that's what, I'm so against that idea. Like, why do you want to know that? Why would you, like, it was amazing. It was super awesome to have that surprise, to have his music hit. But if you had been reading and digging into these details and you knew he was going there and whatever else, like it would have lessened it. And it would take away from it. Like if I went into that arena with an Edge sign, knowing that I'm expecting him to come back, it just, you know, it just wouldn't be the same. So that being said, just like Otis and Dolph, we've got, you know, this baby face surging for revenge for this evil heel. What do you think the outcome is going to be of this match? You think Edge is going to be the last man standing in this match?
Yeah, I do. Same kind of thing. You know, every good guy can't win on this card, so I'll definitely pick some heels sooner or later. I just think he did enough for one to, you know, sometimes guys come back, let's just be honest, and it's not as big as they wanted to or they should be. This has been. The crowd are eating it up. With Randy Orton almost winning every single little thing together, the promo, Beth Phoenix, you know, just the first injury that he did to Orton, I mean to Edge. Yeah, I think Edge wins this, and I think this kind of sets up Edge for a big match probably at SummerSlam against a big heel. Could even be a Lesnar type because they've never really crossed paths, and that could be one of those one-off things at the Slam that they do.
I don't know about that. I don't know about putting Edge in his, you know, freshly unretired neck surgery.
Edge, Seth Rollins, like Edge, AJ Styles. There's a really couple, two or three, you know, dream matches in a way. So I think Edge gets the win. I think he gets a really good moment here. WrestleMania, him and Beth Phoenix hug and walk off the Performance Center.
Now, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned not picking, you know, good guys can't win every match. Well, yeah, they can't win every match. But I'm almost thinking that because of the, you know, what's going on in the country, it wouldn't surprise me if it did, you know, favor a few more potential good guy wins than it might have under normal circumstances. You know, this, we need something good to, we need something to feel good about. We all, you know, need something that positive to, that, you know, to go on in our lives. And so, you know, crushing our hearts by having Edge lose or Otis lose or some of the other matches we get to, I don't know if they're going to go ahead and do that. I mean, they do like to kind of stick needles in our hearts every once in a while when a guy goes to his hometown in front of his home crowd and making him lose. But this is a unique situation, so we'll see. But right now, I am in agreement with you, two for two so far on the good guys winning. The next couple of matches I want to talk about, and, you know, I do like what you said about diving into a little bit more into matches that may, or fights that, you know, aren't typically discussed a lot, but these two were both thrown in, you know, kind of last minute. The first one is Elias versus Baron Corbin. And they did a great job last week of, you know, teasing that brutal injury, you know, of Elias being thrown off that tower. That's one perk of being able to not record it specifically live. You get to do some crazy things like that. And I do hope we see quite a bit of that over the weekend. I do hope they, you know, almost give it a Lucha Underground theatrical feel to the show because they can. But if there is a chance for a bad guy to win, you know, I think Baron Corbin, you know, they're a big fan of his. They've been giving him a lot of opportunities. He retired Kurt Angle last year. If this feels like a bad guy win, what are your thoughts on this one?
I agree. And it's funny because, yeah, sooner or later, yeah, you do have to pick heels and you think this is a perfect one. But then I really thought about it a lot. I really think this is a good Elias spot. One, the heel got the big moment before the match with him throwing him off. And I would assume those two guys wouldn't be on next week's show. I'm just assuming, and a lot of just recaps and everything of that nature. So the last thing we saw, Corbin won, throwing Elias off. Corbin fought Reigns for 6 months. He did beat Kurt Angle at WrestleMania. He's got like a couple. I feel like he's almost to where he's going to be, unless a longevity, unless a Kofi Kingston 6, 7, 8, 9 year run. It's like, okay, dude, Corbin's been here for a while. Mark Henry's been here for a while. Let's give him this championship run. I think he's as high as he can be. Elias has been like started and pushed and stopped and pushed and stopped and pushed, and he needs a win. He's great on the mic. He's great on the guitar. He's done the John Cena WrestleMania spot last year and the year before Undertaker and John Cena. So he's had these really cool WrestleMania spots. He needs a win. Like, I don't recall a Elias legitimate win. You know, even on NXT, he was there for like weeks and just walked behind people. So I wouldn't be surprised. And I agree with you. This kind of is like, yep, we need the bad guy win here. I wouldn't be surprised if Elias gets a win. It's, to me, it means more for him and his career moving forward than Corbin.
No, I 100% agree with all that. You are absolutely right. His pushes have been interrupted as much as his song promos have been.
Well played.
They do start and stop. Well, thank you, sir. And yeah, he's a guy that you can almost do a whole show about, a whole segment on a show, because there's just, he never had any success in NXT. He was not a big star, and he wasn't pushed. And then all of a sudden, one day, he just kind of showed up on the main roster. And then all of a sudden, he got himself over in the, by the crowd. And that's what has given him those opportunities. You're right, he hasn't had that big win, but I'm still going with Baron Corbin on this one. And the next match that I lumped together was Aleister Black and Bobby Lashley. These two were seemingly thrown together based on the fact that they didn't have anything else for either one of these guys to do and had spent a lot of time with both of them and wanted to make sure they were on the card. And due to, I guess, Bobby Lashley being out of the country at one point and being self-quarantined, haven't really even had any time to kind of build this up. So it is kind of thrown together. And I don't know if you knew this, and I'll give you a little trivia. Aleister Black has only been pinned one time on his entire run on the main WWE roster. And that actually came a few weeks ago to AJ Styles. So I don't think they're giving him a second loss getting pinned at WrestleMania. I think we'll see him black massing Bobby Lashley and picking up the win.
Wow. Okay. Kind of. So both spots, I'm going the opposite there. I think it's easy, or I think they're kind of telling you, yeah, Corbin and Black, right? And I'm going with Elias and Lashley. I think that Aleister, you know, if he had the rivalry with AJ Styles, he's kind of, everyone knows how good he is. A win versus Bobby Lashley, to me, really doesn't, it's like, okay, he won, really doesn't do anything, and everyone knows how good he is, and I don't know how great of a match this is going to be, so it's not going to be like, wow, Steamboat Macho Man WrestleMania 3 kind of a deal. I think with Lana there, and you do need a bad guy win, you need a little bit of a swerve win. You can't just have every cool NXT young guy win at this WrestleMania at the Performance Center. I think Lashley wins this match. Little Lana pulling the leg, a big bump for Lashley, and this sets up now Lashley. This really does. They've been, you know, him versus Lesnar has been talked about for 10 years. I really think this does happen. I think Lesnar gets out of the title picture. You're going to want to give Lesnar a win. So you're going to give Lashley a 3-month run right here. I'm telling you, you're going to give Lashley 10 wins, and then Lashley will fall to Lesnar at SummerSlam. I'm going with a little upset here. Bobby Lashley beats Aleister Black.
Wow. All right. I like it. I like your logic again. I like where you're coming from. But hey, there's nothing wrong with having some different opinions. So, up next, we're going to jump into the tag team division. And again, I tried to stay away from actual results, and I know what they've advertised. But it is hard to avoid what I've been, you kind of been hearing about potentially Andrade and The Miz both being unable to compete. So as advertised, it's the Street Profits versus Andrade and Garza. And if that is in fact the case, I do see the Street Profits winning. The Andrade-Garza team was kind of thrown together. I believe we were all under the impression that we likely would have had Andrade, Angel Garza, Humberto Carrillo, and Rey Mysterio in some kind of fatal four-way United States Championship match. It seemed like that's where they were going. Rey Mysterio is off the card, and so this is kind of what we got thrown into. So this is a tough one to kind of talk about. But like I said, as advertised, I'm going to assume the Street Profits were going to win, but we'll see if that match even happens. The SmackDown tag team match, as you mentioned, was going to be a triple threat ladder match, and I'd like to assume it happens, but the noise that I've been desperately trying to avoid seems to indicate that The Miz is not performing. So have you heard anything that you want to share, or are you aware of anything, or what are your thoughts on these matches?
No, I really haven't. And I have, like, especially, and I'm with you. I'm so happy you said that. It was one of your first shows, and I'm listening, and it was great. And I really love where you're going with it. I'm not that guy either. I don't like spoilers, and just I'm so busy. You know, we got the Fight Bananas podcast. We got I got like 19 kids running around my house. We're cooking every meal here. We're cleaning everything. There's no babysitters. We got our hands full. I literally little time of looking into trying to see who's going to win at WrestleMania 36 at the Performance Center. I watch the shows Monday and Wednesdays and Wednesday and Friday, and then just keep watching and being entertained, and I will give them that time. But yeah, I don't want to know, and especially this week's, I knew stuff was happening, so I've actually stayed away from any kind of those sites or any kind of Facebook group chats that, you know, might dig into that area. So I don't know anything about The Miz. And to be honest, I was going to kind of talk about that. This is my, you know, dark horse match of the whole two nights that we haven't really talked about, just how it's in two nights. But WrestleMania as a whole, when we'll look back in it 10 years later, like, wow, Miz Morrison, the Usos, and New Day in a ladder match. Like, this could be that Hardy, Dudley, Edge, and Christian match. I'm that high on this match. So hearing that you, you know, I'm hearing this from the first time from you that the Miz might be out, that's really disheartening. I was really getting pumped for this match.
Yeah, like I said, I've blocked and deleted and stayed away. I have been on Facebook quite a bit. I don't go to any wrestling sites per se, but I am on Facebook, and that has a lot to do with just the environment as is. A lot of school information, a lot of work information is on there. And every once in a while I stumble across something, never click on anything, but that's kind of the vibe that I had been getting. So yeah, like you said, if that match goes on, that has the potential to be a show stealing match. So let's just kind of talk about it. Let's talk about what the match should be, what the match was advertised to be. And you know, who do you think is going to win? What do you think the outcome would be?
100% bad guys. We need bad guys to win some matches here. So I got all in on the bad guys. I think this is a John Morrison, you know, highlight reel. Give him the match, give him seven moves. I think that the moment isn't big enough for the Usos or the New Day to win the championship. And there's so many pay-per-views every month and super showdowns and so many things coming up. You can give the Usos versus Miz and Morrison that big win, the one-on-one win, and make that a huge moment on a show. This show, you know, I think I said McIntyre's going to win 9 times, so here's 10. McIntyre's going to win. There's so many big moments coming on. You need some people to retain. You need a Bankai to win. I got Miz and Morrison all day long. Hey, ho, ho. So I'm all in with Miz and Morrison.
All right, so you're basically telling me, though, that when we get towards the end of the show, I can just cut it off. You've already covered the McIntyre win.
I'm so pumped on it.
All right.
In my whole entire professional wrestling life fanhood, there hasn't been a guy that I've been a total 180 on in not even years, because it's so funny because I am a wrestling junkie. I'm probably one out of those 6 guys in the world. I still watch Impact Wrestling. And you're like, is it still on? Yes, it's on Access. You can try to find it. I got it on DirecTV. I still watch it.
You heard me talking about it last week.
I know. Like, I loved it.
It's the brand. It's the show that just can't be killed.
Because of me. I think I give it 2 hours every week. They don't want to lose the ratings. And I think I buy all the commercials on it. I did love what Drew Galloway did for Impact Wrestling. And I just... Drew McIntyre and the Royal Rumble moment, and it was like probably a month ago when he ran and hit Lesnar 3 times with the kicks. I'm telling you, just go to Twitter and put in Drew McIntyre commercial. It's amazing. It's Rocky IV. He is the hottest guy going into this year's WrestleMania. I know every match, if you go the opposite, I'll be like, okay, I need McIntyre to win this match. I'm all in on it, dude. I'm all in.
No, I 100% agree. We're kind of covering it now. We'll kind of talk about it a little bit, but yeah, he's the guy I feel the most bad for, because I 100% agree. And he deserved to have this moment for the turnaround of his career from being, you know, one of the 3 MBs You know, he went from chosen one and he fell off, and he fell off far and fell off hard. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a great turnaround. But anyway, so that being said, yeah, I was expecting the bad guy win. I was expecting Miz and Morrison to win. I kind of mentioned, you know, strapping that tag team rocket to Otis and Tucker, and you know, it makes the most sense to keep the titles on Miz and Morrison. So I do hope that match takes place in some capacity. At this time, as of this recording, you know, we're kind of rolling with what little information we have, but as it's scheduled, yeah, that should be an amazing match. Speaking of amazing potential matches.
Wait, real quick, that guy, what happened? I'm just throwing out a crazy WrestleMania moment-y. They say, like, hey, the Miz can't make it. He can't come to the show, you know, and then that's just, hopefully maybe they say something honest, or they just literally, you know, I don't know, Usos beat up Miz in the parking lot, so he can't make it. And they add in Joey Mercury with Natalia. What's her name? Natalia. And they bring back M&M for this year's WrestleMania. And they're kind of say, oh, they have to defend the titles for Miz and Morrison. And Morrison is still in the match, and M&M and fights for the titles.
Wow. That would be completely random. The crowd would... Oh, no, there's no crowd. But there would certainly be an interesting reaction from the people at home. Yeah, no, that would be kind of crazy. If that does happen, I'm going to assume that you got some inside information somewhere, because that is certainly not amongst the expectations and outcomes that I had pictured. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. And so, yeah, you kind of ruined my segue there into a potential amazing match. And, you know, I don't know if I should just stop the show right now.
I'm telling you, I bring stuff from left field. Like, people just talk about fights. They're like, oh, this guy is 6'2" and he's strong and he punches that guy. No, like, it's so much more. I just always bring up training camps and their coaches. And this guy's on a 3-fight win streak because he's been married since that. There's always reasons. And that's just how I've been doing the Fight Bananas podcast, my man.
No, I love it. Hey, I love it. That's why the Fight Bananas podcast has been such a success. That's why you could afford to add me to the payroll. Speaking of which, when am I going to start getting paid?
Checks in the mail. Checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail. Checks okay. The mail. All right. Let's keep this train rolling. I hope the viewers are entertained so far. Up next, let's talk about Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan. Now, I love what they've been doing with this. I found it so strange for so long that Sami Zayn wasn't wrestling. He doesn't have the look that Vince McMahon likes. I mean, there doesn't appear to be a muscle on his body. But he is terrific. He's great in the ring. I mean, he put on some classic matches in NXT. And, you know, even moving up, his heel turn was great. He was one of those guys that I never thought could pull off being, you know, like, some guys are bad and you can't picture them as good, and vice versa. Some guys are good and you just can't picture them being bad. And he was one of them, but he's done it so well. Giving him this little stable of Nakamura and Cesaro, that kind of works. And then I've mentioned it, Drew Gulak getting a shot, like, you know, hanging with the big time, with the big boys, has been great. So I really think this will be a really good match. I do think Daniel Bryan is going to pull it out, and this will dive into something that I'm going to cover on a future show. I'm going to talk about, like, some of the roster moves I think might potentially happen, but it wouldn't surprise me if they took this Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Nakamura group and kind of switched them over to NXT for a little bit. But that's for a discussion down the road. So, you know, just on this match alone, I do think Daniel Bryan is going to win this match.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
I again disagree. Wow. And I thought we were going to go like 14 out of 14. Sami Zayn will definitely retain this title. There's other big title changes later on in the show. Daniel Bryan doesn't need the title. I don't think Daniel Bryan's going to be around week in and week out, especially with, to be honest, with everything that's happened in the life. He has a baby. There's another baby on the way. Daniel Bryan doesn't need this win. Sami Zayn's got heaters on the outside to cheat. And it could be probably the dark horse moment of the show is a Drew Gulak turn on Daniel Bryan, and he could be part of that group, and it's four of them because groups are better in fours in wrestling. So I think there's maybe this might be my stamp of approval. I might go all in. Sami Zayn definitely retains the Intercontinental Championship.
That's funny because I thought about that. I thought about the Drew Gulak turn, but I almost thought it would be more appropriate if Daniel Bryan won, give us fans another happy moment. Because again, we need some happy moments, but kind of kept that rivalry going, and eventually gave that Drew Gulak the turn, and him using the knowledge that he's continued to acquire about all of Daniel Bryan's weaknesses to actually put the Intercontinental title on Drew Gulak. So that's kind of what I thought might potentially happen down the road. I think that would be, that would make more sense. I do like the idea of him being in that group. That makes a lot of sense to me as well. But if he just kind of gets thrown in there and he's the fourth guy, it might not mean as much as if he was able to kind of turn and actually win the title from Daniel Bryan at some point. But hey, I could definitely see it going either way. That's what I love about this card so far. How many of your picks so far, I can ask this question as we get to the end, would have been different, had the event been in Tampa in front of the stadium? I mean, are you changing your results, from what you might have thought a few weeks ago or a month ago as we were potentially leaning towards these matches?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially Tampa, if Brie Bella's there in the crowd and, she's holding her tummy because she's pregnant and all that. Yeah, I can see Bryan. That win could have been an absolute WrestleMania moment. He won the Intercontinental Championship, WrestleMania 31, exactly 5 years ago. I was there. I got on my Instagram stories, at Dave Van Alken, give it a follow. There you go. So he could have had that moment. I don't think there's any moment to be had now if he wins. This is, to me, the kind of, probably more time we thought we're going to spend on this match. This is probably my dark horse match of the event now. And without the crowd, if anyone that hasn't seen it, my two cents is to go back and watch. I love how you said how good Sami Zayn is. He really is. Go back and watch Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, and NXT TakeOver. I believe it was Houston or Dallas that year for WrestleMania 32, 4 years ago. It was like the match of the year, one of the best matches I've ever seen. So I think Zayn can go. Cesaro, Nakamura, they've fought too long for the title for just to give it up to Daniel Bryan, who's kind of not hot right now, if I can say.
Yeah, no, again, I 100% agree with that. And a bonus question that we could, I wish I had a poll option. Who did Sami Zayn have a better match with? Was it Nakamura or was it Cesaro at TakeOver? Because he has fought them both. And the matches that he's had with Cesaro were pretty classic as well. He is great in the ring. He's just a really, really good wrestler. He just, for whatever reason, they gave him that managerial role because he's so great on the mic. I'm glad that he got the chance to have the Intercontinental title. I don't remember the exact statistic of how many days it took for him to win a title in the WWE on the main roster, but yeah, this definitely could be a potential match of the night. These two really know how to go at it in the ring. So up next, this is another one that I have a hard time kind of picking, and it's Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. Now, there's nothing on the line, just, straight up animosity and vengeance. I did mention earlier, I loved Seth Rollins' promo on Monday last week. He's so much better as a bad guy. He really, really is. He gets a chance. He just is a naturally whiny kind of guy. He's a naturally pompous kind of ass. Like, that's just what he is. And so force feeding him to be a good guy and have him, like, throw the phrase "burn it down" into every segment just doesn't really work as well for him. So I'm glad he's a bad guy, and Kevin Owens is a good guy. It works. He's also a better heel, but this rivalry's been interesting. This rivalry, I don't see it ending anytime soon. So I'm really kind of torn on who to pick for this one. Where were you leaning towards on this one?
Kevin Owens. It's the I've probably said it three out of the last four matches. Kevin Owens needs this win more. He hasn't had any WrestleMania moments. He needs a moment. He needs a win against a top-tier heel. Seth Rollins doesn't. It's probably, to be honest, his weakest WrestleMania match ever, and he just doesn't need to win this match. They can, the whole group can get hot, and especially if McIntyre becomes the champion. This is my 11th time I'm saying this. I think there's a thread of the show. How about Rollins versus McIntyre for the next 3 months? That's easy. That's organic. You can have those, all four of them beat up McIntyre, and you got this big, huge, good guy champion coming from underneath, trying to win the pay-per-view matches. So I got Owens winning this match easy. Just a big, easy, clean 1-2-3 win for Kevin Owens.
Boom. Nice stunners in the middle of the ring. Yeah, no, I do agree, especially since they did, in fact, highlight, you know, how this match is almost beneath him, how Rollins has had nothing but world title and main events and classic WrestleMania moments, and Kevin Owens just hasn't. So it's almost like when they, you know, years ago, and it was Big Show and Cody Rhodes, and highlighting how Big Show had never had that moment. You know, they just highlighted and just to give him that win. And yeah, I do agree. I think Kevin Owens will win this one. Nice stunner in the middle of the ring. But yeah.
How much do you think that Vince McMahon loved putting on ESPN WrestleMania 32, Cody Rhodes as Stardust being, you know, minuscule in the match, and then Dean Ambrose getting his ass kicked with Brock Lesnar for 18 minutes?
I wouldn't surprise me if, you know, there was some thought into that one.
And but somehow the match, Chris Jericho defeating AJ Styles match didn't make it. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That is curious. but yeah, that is some interesting stuff. Another match that has some, you know, animosity to it. No title on the line. Is whatever a Boneyard match is, Undertaker versus AJ Styles.
It's a Boneyard match.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a Boneyard match.
Yeah.
So, what does that mean?
It's a Boneyard match. What do you mean?
Oh. Well, you know, the way you say it there, that now I understand.
Okay.
Thank you for explaining it to me.
There you go.
It is a Boneyard match between, I guess I should just say AJ Styles versus Mark Calloway.
Oh, my goodness.
As he's been referring to him in this rivalry.
Wow.
I do like that this is the match that they gave Taker. I am one of those guys that says Taker should wrestle for as long as he very well pleases. He is my 5-year-old son's favorite wrestler. He does not know that he is 50-something years old. He does not know that he can't go as well as he used to go. He just knows that the Undertaker character is cool, and he likes it, and he thinks he's a good wrestler. So as far as I'm concerned, he has earned the right to wrestle for as long as he very damn well pleases. Just get over the fact that he is not in his prime anymore. Just understand he's older. Enjoy it, because someday he will be gone, and we will miss hearing those gongs. We will miss seeing those entrances at WrestleMania. We will miss those moments. But if anybody can still bring out a potential, you know, Taker classic, it is AJ Styles, who is one of the best wrestlers in the entire world, and has been for a very long time. So, now that you very, very clearly explained to me what a Boneyard match is, can you share with me what you think is going to happen in this Boneyard match?
Oh, well, you know, because it is a Boneyard match and it's easy to understand what a Boneyard match is, I have The Undertaker, a.k.a. Mark Calloway. God, I hate saying that name. Oh, yeah, I got Undertaker all day. It's just this match doesn't... It's not as big as it maybe should be, I guess, because Undertaker AJ Styles 5 years ago could have main evented WrestleMania. For him to lose this match is just so underneath him. There's no way. I have Undertaker winning this prestigious Boneyard match.
I don't know. It's funny because I, like, my heart tells me he should win, and he's going to win. And I despise seeing him lose at WrestleMania. His streak should not have ended. We will definitely cover that in another episode. And then when he lost to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania and set his stuff, his hat down in the ring, that, you know, almost indicated he was done. I just have a hard time picking against him at WrestleMania, but there's this part of me that thinks that, like, he's such a respect kind of wrestler. And I really think that he believes and respects AJ Styles and might be willing to put him over in a WrestleMania match.
Not in a Boneyard match, though. If it was a regular match, maybe, but not in the Boneyard match.
I don't know. I mean, AJ Styles has been doing some training in Boneyards. He's been practicing. You know, he's been putting that out on Twitter, his Boneyard practice. So I honestly think, and it pains me to say it, and I almost hope I'm wrong. I mean, but I really think there's a chance. I think AJ Styles is going to pull this one out. I think he still has, you know, 4 or 5 more years. I think he's been away from the title picture a little, you know, for a little while. Putting him over Undertaker at WrestleMania can kind of just continue to propel him back to where he belongs. So,
dude, I really hope at the end of the show and for the whole week, you put, you know, your picks and put my picks and, like, let people vote or put it on all your social media platforms and push this out, because I'm actually excited and happy how many different opinions and different matches we win, especially WrestleMania. It's usually pretty standard. You know, we've been watching it for so long, especially so long together. We're pretty usually spot on. This is awesome. I'm so happy that we have, I would guess, more than half of the matches so far different.
That is true. We have gone a different way. I do remember us doing this preview last year on your side, and I do remember us having a decent amount of different ones as well. But yeah, I will. I do need to put these results down, and you can follow me again on Twitter, on Instagram. You can like me on Facebook, either or, under That Guy's Wrestling Podcast. And if you didn't know already, I am that guy. And that guy was supposed to be in that crowd at WrestleMania. I will mention that every week for probably the rest of my life. So, yeah, I'm still not bitter.
But it is a Boneyard match, right? The Undertaker AJ Boneyard?
It is a Boneyard match. I wanted to see a Boneyard match live. Yep. I was really, you know, because of how impressive a Boneyard match clearly is. So, yeah, I was really disappointed, especially, you know, I was sad to begin with. But once they announced it was a Boneyard match, I was just like, that's it. I started crying. But I am over it. The tears have dried up, and I had to dry them up so I can continue to preview these matches with you. Let's jump into a trifecta of women's championship matches. Now, there are three matches. We've got Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte for the NXT women's title. We have Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch for the Raw women's title. And then we've got Bayley and Sasha and whatever other women could make the show in the SmackDown women's title match. So let's just go, you know, from the order of the week, from the days of the week. Let's start on Mondays and Raw. Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler. I am 100% hopeful, and I'm going to pick it whether I think it or not. I'm hopeful that Shayna Baszler wins this match. I am a massive Shayna Baszler fan. I think she is terrific. I think she's phenomenal. I think she has the MMA background, but is also just a great professional wrestler. I think they've, like, some of the, you know, when Ronda Rousey, when Brock Lesnar, like, they gave these guys their MMA backgrounds, and then it's like, oh, all they do, you know, they're unstoppable monsters, and there's like, and they just, they're limited move sets, and then they just have them come in and dominate. But she can wrestle, she can go. And I'm so sick and tired of Becky Lynch as the world champion. It has been a year. That is far too long for anybody, no matter how much I like them, no matter how good they are. No wrestler should have a title for a year. It's boring. It's just flat out is just not entertaining. So I'm pulling very hard for Shayna Baszler, and I'm just going to hope that she wins this match. now that I'm off my soapbox, what are your thoughts on this one?
The thread of the show is Drew McIntyre Boneyard match, and you and I disagreeing because I have absolutely Becky Lynch winning this match. Shayna Baszler won the Elimination Chamber, the main event. It was kind of her show. Just not a lot of buzz. She didn't have any pop to it to me. There wasn't a lot of, you know, the weeks in that next show. Sometimes, you know, when Austin won the title, that next Raw, it was all about Austin. It just didn't feel that. It felt flat. And to me, a flat challenger is not going to come and beat Becky Lynch, who is the hottest, over a year-long champion. Their female John Cena, in a way. I don't know. She's just on fire. I think they have her versus Ronda on the stove ready, just warming it up. So I think she gets through Baszler and you know, retains her championship.
See, I don't think she's as hot anymore, and I feel like this is another topic I could cover a whole podcast on. I think that they have killed the women's evolution, the women's revolution. Excuse me, Becky. And Bailey and Sasha and Charlotte, they were so integral in starting it, and they've absolutely crushed it. They've absolutely ruined the entire women's division by basically telling us that those four women are good and everybody else is a hot garbage. And they had to like bring in Shayna Baszler to even have a challenger for Becky Lynch, because they've just made everybody else in that division look so weak. You know, and it's really unfortunate because there's a lot of talent on both sides in the women's division, but they've just kind of buried them all. And I know it did come off as flat, but if Shayna doesn't win, then the next option, the only option, is Ronda. And I don't know if she's ready. I don't know if she's still on baby vacation, you know, her plan to start a family. And even if she is ready to come back, is that it? Are you telling me that on Monday Night Raw, there are only two women who are worthy of holding your women's champion, and it's Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey? Like, that just doesn't work for me. I hope they don't falter. They gave Shayna the main event win at Survivor Series. They gave her the Elimination Chamber. They had her tie the number of eliminations at the Royal Rumble, the women's record. They almost had her win that. Just go with it. Go and give her the chance. Let her take Becky down. She doesn't need to be the main segment on the next show. You know, that's what Drew McIntyre is going to be when he wins the title. So the show doesn't need to be built around her. It can be built around Drew McIntyre. But yeah, I think Becky's better when she's fighting for the title than when she has it. That's my opinion. I hope I'm right. I think there's a very good chance I'm not, but like I said, I'm picking with my heart on this one. I'm really hoping that Shayna wins. All right. Jumping to Wednesday, you mentioned the hottest wrestler. And I know Becky is on the big show. She's on Monday Night Raw and she's got a lot of background. But you know, the potentially next hottest woman is Rhea Ripley, and she's tremendous. She's going against Charlotte Flair, who I am not a fan of at all. She's nice. She's a nice person. I've met her, a couple of times. I've met her with you. She's really nice. However, I'm so sick of her winning. So sick of her winning. I really think Rhea Ripley is going to win. I think she needs that moment. I think Charlotte Flair has had so many moments, too many moments. And she's not winning the NXT title and going back to NXT. So that's my opinion on that. What are your thoughts on Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair?
I agree on everything you said about Rhea Ripley, but I totally disagree because I saw some angst through our microphones, and I saw and I heard a lot of negativity about the queen, about the greatest female talent to ever step foot in the WWE ring, the Triple H of the female side. I'm all in with Charlotte Flair. I think I love what she does for female professional wrestling, or just even professional wrestling as a whole. I'm a humongous, humongous fan of Charlotte Flair. Yeah, you know, when you are that good.
The last time she's had a good or interesting rivalry, though? or even a good or interesting match. Like, when was the last time she put on that you were like, oh, I got to see this Charlotte Flair rivalry, or I'm like, it's, I'm really into
probably
this
her versus
like,
Becky.
Her match blew you away. When, like, can you think of one?
It was actually, you ready for it? I remember it was the Women's Revolution show. That was kind of their last time. I remember it was a tables match. It was awesome. It was really good. No, she's had a...
How long ago was that? That's
19 months.
Point. Her every
19
single
months,
match, every
two
single
weeks,
promo
six days.
Of hers has been the exact same for her entire career. Right? She's been the exact same person. It's, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, I'm the queen, I'm going to woo at you. And then that's it. You're going to do your moves on me. They're not going to affect me a whole lot. I'm going to do a moonsault. I'm going to put you in the figure four and I'm going to make you tap out. Boom. Formula done. Like, there hasn't been, she just, there, like, I get it. She's talented. I'm not going to argue that she's not, that she doesn't have talent. But I think there's a lot more women who are just as talented, if not more talented, and she's just been given, like, she doesn't need to be a 10-time women's champ at this point. Again, she's not 10 times better than some of the other women on that roster. So I'm hoping that they don't just, you know, give her this moment and have her beat Rhea Ripley because nobody else, you know, can, and Rhea Ripley's hot right now, and just don't need her to crush that. I didn't need her to beat Asuka at WrestleMania and end the streak. I didn't need her to be in the main event last year. We all wanted Becky and Ronda. You know, I didn't even want her winning the Royal Rumble. I thought it would have really been a big deal to have Shayna Baszler come up and win that match. But, you know, again, Charlotte just kind of has to butt her head. You know, they have to just kind of shove her in there sometimes, even when it doesn't fit. It's just not organic. It's just, hey, she's Charlotte Flair, so let's throw her in that, give her that win.
Wow.
But angst, that's a good word. That's a good word that you feel there.
Wow, I'm feeling it, my man. There's two things I'm really getting out of this is that you are not liking a Charlotte Flair fan, and you are excited for the Boneyard match. So these are the two things I got out of this.
I can't help it. That Boneyard match is just super exciting.
But Rhea Ripley's
like I said,
winning.
I will definitely have an episode where I really talk about the Women's Revolution. You know, me and you have watched wrestling for a long, long time. We watched many WrestleManias together where they didn't even have women's matches. We watched many more where it was bra and panties, you know, 2-minute matches. It wasn't, you know, really good. And I'm so happy that they are getting the opportunity that they deserve, that the women are, you know, are able to, of any race, shape, size, color, and, you know, they're all like, it's just this wonderful blend of talent. And I feel like they were brought up, you know, those four women that I mentioned earlier, the four horsewomen, you know, were able to, you know, blast through that glass ceiling and punch open a hole and show the world that, hey, these women can do it. But then they like broke through that ceiling and then they plugged it and they just have stopped allowing anybody else to come through and shine through. And you know, it's just, to me, they're doing them a disservice, and it's not even them personally. You know, it's, you know, that's just the way they're being booked. And I think, you know, if you're watching a rivalry and you already know that like one of those four women are in it, you know, they're probably going to win that rivalry, and it just takes away the suspense and it takes away the excitement as a fan. So, like I said, there's a lot of depth that you can cover and I can cover and I can talk about when it comes to that. But let's jump into that last match. And I kind of jokingly, you know, said it was Sasha and Bayley and whatever other women were available. And to some extent, that was true. Lacey Evans is in that match. She actually, you know, she really does fit. She's been near the top of the card for a while. And Natalia has been near the top of the card. Whenever they need someone, she's reliable. She, you know, has no chance of winning this match. And then there's Tamina, who was just randomly thrown in, who has not won a match since March of 2019. That is not a typo. I didn't mean March of 2020. March of 2019. It has been over a year since she has won a televised match. So you know,
so you're I feel bad saying
like, you know, this, she was just being thrown in. But literally, if you have not won a televised match in over a year, I'm not sure if WrestleMania is the place for you to get a title match. So that being said, I understand why. I understand why we're not getting Sasha and Bayley. They just didn't have the chance to build it up. That match is coming. That one-on-one match is definitely coming. But I don't think it's coming. You know, it wasn't smart to have it come without a build. And so it's fine. Throw all these other women in there, you know, make this a potentially interesting match. You know, cause the more women you have in the match, the better chance it could be of some interesting spots happen. Who do you think is going to come out on top on this one?
My favorite female underneath the WWE umbrella is Sasha Banks. So I'm going all in with Sasha Banks. I have Becky retaining. I have Rhea retaining. Sammy earlier retaining. Miz and Morrison, if that's the match, the retaining. So I have a lot of retention at the beginning of the show. Here comes some new champions. Sasha Banks needs this win. She needs to get hot again. Sometimes in a rivalry, you kind of start it with a win over the person. It's like, boom, just like you... it's like you push start it, you jump start it, and I think this is what they're going to do. It's the turn at the end. She should have hit Tamina. Sasha will hit Bayley. Boom. 1, 2, 3. Sasha Banks is the new SmackDown female champion.
We're going to jump in on an agreement finally on this one. I do think Sasha's going to win. I do think it jump starts the rivalry. It'll give them a chance to kind of build on it and then go back and forth. And yeah, it'll probably be some kind of like you said, accidental, you know, some kind of situation like where it doesn't seem like Sasha was specifically trying to pin Bayley. It just got knocked out and fell on her kind of thing. So she wins the match. And then that gives us a rivalry that, you know, that they can build on over the summer. They can continue to have a couple of, you know, have a probably, you know, 2 or 3 month long, you know, of different pay-per-view matches. But yeah, I do think that is the one, or actually I think 2 of the titles are going to change hands. I do think Shayna is going to win, and I do think Sasha is going to win that one as well. All right, we're down to our final 3 matches, or you might as well say 2, because we've already both discussed how Drew McIntyre is going to win. So we'll jump right into that one. So yeah, Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre. I was very torn going into the Royal Rumble. Like I was really annoyed with it for a while. Brock Lesnar's another one. I can't stand him. Honestly, he is an asshole. Like that is just him in real life. That's him. He is that prick you see on TV. That's Brock Lesnar in real life. That being said, I'm just tired of him hijacking that world title. There's nothing more exciting than going to a wrestling event and seeing a title change hands. How many times have we been live in attendance to watch world titles or any other titles change hands? It's amazing.
14.
It's like it's just an unrivaled live sport experience. It's so cool. And he just doesn't even defend it. He doesn't even pretend to care about it. You know, he didn't have to defend it at the Royal Rumble. He didn't have to defend it the month after. Like, you know, in 2020, here we are almost into April, and he has defended it one time against Ricochet for about 2 minutes and just squashed him and just told us that Ricochet was a waste of talent, and we know that is untrue. I'm really excited for Drew McIntyre to win this match. You've said it 11 times. You might as well make it an even dozen. I know your thoughts. How do you expect this match to go down? Let's dive into that. Let's take it from a different angle.
I thought, and I still do, so I'm going to go in all in. It's going to be, I'm guaranteeing you right now, every listener listening to this show, every wrestling fan, I'm guaranteeing it to you. This match is going to be better than what everyone thinks. I think this is going to be the best championship match. I think this match has out of all the big, you know, and I love Edge and Orton, and we're going to get into Bray and Cena, and we can get into the other big championship matches. This is going to be the best big match of the card. I really, really like this match. I really like this match for McIntyre. Both guys are big, athletic, and can go. And I think Drew wants to kind of prove a point that hit me. I'm going to get you back a little bit of Roman Reigns, but, you know, and no slight towards Roman Reigns. We'll get into that in a second. I think McIntyre's a little bit more athletic and a little bit more, he has a little bit more go. Like, especially lately, you know, that Royal Rumble moment, he goes. Like, there's just this burst. It's very fun to watch. It kind of leaps off the screen. And I think the place is going to go crazy. Those cameramen are going to cheer. And my last thing I wanted to say about this match, about when Drew McIntyre wins the championship, I think this match should go last. This is the absolute last match on a Sunday. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I 100% do. I really hope that it is. Yeah, it should have been the last match on the main card, you know, originally in Tampa. It should be, you know, 70,000 people at the end of the show cheering Drew McIntyre as his music hits. It absolutely should be last. It should be, you know, he should start off the match like trying to claymore Brock Lesnar right away and miss, or even get caught and throw right into an F5 and kick out. There definitely should be some suspense to it. I do agree that it does have a chance to be a little bit better than we might have, you know, we might think. You know, Brock Lesnar hasn't been known for putting on some classic matches. He's, you know, he really, unfortunately, has seemingly phoned quite a few of them in. You mentioned the Mania match against Dean Ambrose, which was just not a good match at all. He just sometimes just doesn't seem to care. It does seem like he does care about this match. It does seem like he does care about helping Drew McIntyre get over. So that's why I think this one should be a little bit better. I'm happy for Drew McIntyre if it does in fact happen. I'm happy for him to have that world title, you know, to show how far he's come. But it's just sad that, you know, like you said, the only ones cheering will be the cameramen and whatever wrestlers are in the back watching it on the monitors.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into, or is there anything you wanted to add to that one before we jumped into the last two matches?
Nope, Drew McIntyre is the man. He's winning this match. Go on Twitter, watch the Rocky IV thing. It's amazing. 2 minutes and 12 seconds after you listen to the whole That Guy's Wrestling podcast.
All right. Now, typically, you know, the title matches should be last, and I actually wanted to talk about that match last, but we had mentioned it so many times, so I jumped into it. And I would normally save the other world title match for the last match that we discuss. But it does appear, and this isn't like necessarily a full-on spoiler, as it really kind of blew up the internet for a short period of time, that Roman Reigns is not going to compete. His leukemia in his system, you know, compromised his immune system. He felt it wasn't safe. Supposedly the day of the show, the taping, he told him he wasn't going to make it. He wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to risk it. I do applaud him for that. And if there's anybody else that I feel almost, you know, not quite as bad as I feel for Drew McIntyre, but it is, you know, I do feel bad for Roman Reigns. As much as he's had that chance, he's had these moments, he's had these WrestleMania wins, he's main evented, you know, however many WrestleManias it has been, you know, those don't last forever. And he had a chance. And I don't know if you would, I assume you would agree that he was going to beat Goldberg, and win the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, big time.
And you know, it's gone. That moment's taken away from him. So he's, you know, not only not going to do that again in front of a big crowd, he's not even going to compete at all. Going along with those articles, then, you know, again, trying not to read into what actually happened. They did seem to discuss that Braun Strowman was a potential candidate to replace him. I tried to think about what made sense as far as, you know, who's not fighting, who might be available. I was 100% on board with Matt Riddle. I really think that should have been like, if anything could have been an interesting moment that really like just made the WWE trend on the internet, which they love talking about how it trends on social media. Matt Riddle, NXT Tag Team Champion, who's had such a vocal disdain for Goldberg and Brock Lesnar at times, and talked about wanting to retire them, wanting to beat them, you know, was very vocal about, you know, saying that if Willie G, as he called him, needed an opponent, he was ready to step in. And honestly, if I had a chance, I would have pulled that trigger. I would have booked him in that match. I would have even put him over. And I really think like that would have just created one of those what the hell just happened moments. Like to have all of a sudden Matt Riddle come out of nowhere, NXT champion, fighting on Wednesday nights, getting beat up by a bunch of no-name guys that we haven't even really heard of yet, winning your world championship. Like, I think that would have just been insane. What are your thoughts on any and all of, you know, Roman Reigns not being in it, Braun Strowman as a potential opponent? You know, what would you have done in that situation? You know, being backed into a corner. Let me hear your brilliant hot takes.
Okay. First and foremost, yeah, there's a, you know, respect, applaud to Roman. You know, as men, we love our jobs and our careers, and it means so much to us. But at the end of the day, it's it comes and goes. There's nothing more important than your health and your family and everything like that. And it's like, you know, he's a father. He's talked about it so many times. And us of being fathers, there's just nothing more. I will turn down money. I do turn down money left and right all the time to be with the family. So there's just like a lot of that I really do like and genuinely respect there about Roman. So now just to go into the sports entertainment part of it. So we talked about it off air and I was like, wow, okay, that's crazy. It's huge. And this is just going to be a part of the corona effect of this year's WrestleMania. And I'm like, okay. And then it hit me right away. Like it wasn't even, and I know you're a Riddle guy. 10 months ago, I could have said maybe. 10 months ago, he was a little hotter in NXT when he beat Velveteen Dream, NXT TakeOver. He had, I think, more buzz, and his name was hotter than he is right now, being NXT Tag Team Champion, and then they kind of just put together with the Bruiserweight, you know? So I don't think Riddle is at all. And same thing, I didn't think Strowman was a guy at all, too, and I guess he's probably the best of the rest. He is easily the best guy who doesn't have a match. He's fought for the title multiple times, especially against Lesnar. So I can see that. But to me, he's so cold and there's just, he's nothing going on. He lost in the Intercontinental Champion to Sami Zayn. I'm like, no, it makes perfect sense to me that John Cena, the Fiend, is a WrestleMania main event type of match. You put that match, you know, and especially with it being two nights, I'm like, oh, this is perfect. That main event Saturday night, the winner of Cena versus Fiend would fight Goldberg Sunday, and they can just do it. They can start off the show Saturday. Hey, guys, we're going to main event Reigns and Goldberg. Reigns isn't here. He's, you know, dealing with the corona effect, and he's home with his family. So we're going to make the main event tonight John Cena versus the Fiend. Winner. And you know, Cena is the greatest of all time, and the Fiend had maybe the hottest 2019, fights Goldberg tomorrow night in the SmackDown Championship match. Then that you can go either way. I don't know if Cena's staying, if Cena stays. And I thought about it too, just kind of real quick left turn into a rabbit hole. I remember WrestleMania 18, the greatest match of my life, the greatest match ever, the Rock Hogan match. And I remember Austin was so upset that Austin didn't get the Hogan match and he got Scott Hall. And I felt the same kind of thing here. It was so weird when Goldberg Reigns came out of left field very quickly. And I'm like, man, when Cena was coming back and there was rumors of it, I'm like, dude, like they should pull the trigger right now. You might not ever get these two guys on the same card again. It should be Cena Goldberg. It's just like very iconic. It's a very once in a lifetime kind of a feel. It's a you know, it's just one of those, you see them on a poster for WrestleMania, them two faces, it's like, wow, that was the Cena Goldberg Mania. And they didn't. And there's nothing, I'm okay with it, but, you know, to have Cena, Wyatt, that they kind of already had, and Reigns, Goldberg, which kind of, when they first did the one thing in front of a crowd, kind of got shit on. So I was like, I just didn't really see it. I'm like, okay, it is what it is. That's what they want. I understand the Reigns championship run is coming, so I get it. I think they should, that's my angle. That's what I would take if I was the creative control of this. If Cena staying long term, I would love Cena to win and beat Goldberg and to kind of have that cherry on the top, the biggest champion of all time. They've been throwing around the greatest of all time a lot. Or if he's not, if he's really just here for these couple of weeks and he's gone, yeah, they're just right back to the Fiend. A lot of people were upset that Goldberg beat him. It's the payback, the receipt. You Fiend beats Cena and Fiend beats Goldberg back to back nights. And he's the hottest champ, the hottest professional wrestler on this planet. So that's the angle I would have took it.
That's not bad. The only area of that I will disagree with is Cena cannot beat the Fiend. No matter what the situation is, he cannot win that match. Even if they decide that they want to have the winner, even if Cena's going to stay around for another few months, and you decide that you're going to have the winner of that match fight Goldberg, that's fine. It cannot be John Cena. He cannot beat the Fiend. If he does, if the Fiend loses to Goldberg and Cena back to back, you know, two guys that were not wrestling at all, you might as well just bury that character like he did the first time, and ship him off to AEW and get it done with. Okay. The Fiend has to beat John Cena. He's going to beat John Cena. We were going to kind of jump into that as our last match. I don't know if you agree with me based on where we are, on that.
No,
so
I agree. I totally agree. And the only Fiend was winning 99.8%. And then with Reigns coming out of it, and if they said, you know, hey, yeah, guys, Strowman isn't hot enough right now. We're not moving up Riddle. We're not going to move up Keith Lee.
Right, Triple. Why isn't Strowman hot enough? Like, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, he's not like, you know, buzzworthy hot enough, but he is still like an impressive, impressive guy. And he was just the Intercontinental Champion. Like, there's no reason at all. Like, if they throw him out there, there's no reason at all. He can't believably beat Goldberg and become the new world champion. Like, he should have been multiple times before. Like, he should have already been a champion. So, he wouldn't, or this organically wouldn't fit. Like, that's not where he's supposed to be. Like, they didn't build him up in this time for this match, but there's no reason. Like, he's the kind of guy that you can just throw in there and be like, yep, he deserves it. He's, you know, he's as impressive as a big man gets. And like, he could instantly just like, boom, turn it on. And then they can go good or bad with it. He can just, you know, he can become the new heel, a new giant heel on the show, and just they can bring him back to crushing and dominating people and flipping cars and whatever else they need to do to show how impressive he is. Or he can win that match. He can beat Goldberg and just, you know, bring those, you know, get these hands chance whenever you get a nice live audience back. I totally think if he gets that match, he's winning. I don't think they planned on having Goldberg around any longer than this, regardless. Like, who knows when the next, like, when they're really going to be able to get back to normal. You know, who knows how many matches they might have taped over the last few days. It's like, they easily, if they had to throw Strowman in this match, they have him win. And they tape one or two matches or segments or whatever, and you've got the next few weeks of your champion. If Goldberg beats him, like, for one, if they try and embarrass Goldberg by having him jackhammer Braun Strowman, it would look awful. And then for two, like, then what do you do with it? What's next? So,
okay, you mentioned why not Strowman? Why not Drew McIntyre 7 years ago when he's a part of 3MB? Why not Daniel Bryan 6 years ago when he was losing to The Miz? There's just...
Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, hold on a second. Don't put Braun Strowman in the same category as 3MB Drew McIntyre. You know,
it's close.
Daniel Bryan.
It's close.
No, it's not close. It is not close. He is still the monster among men. He is still, his booking hasn't been great, but he still typically wins most rivalries. He wins most matches. You know, it took three guys for him to beat him for the Intercontinental title. It wouldn't even surprise me if he was getting, you know, if he was getting in line for an eventual world title match again at some point, you know, in the next few months. So
wait. Those three guys, Cesaro has not won a match on WWE TV since he was Swiss SummerSlam 2004. Nakamura hasn't won a WWE match since winning the Royal Rumble. You said yourself, Sami Zayn's had like 17,000 days without winning a title ever in the WWE. And these three guys that were, you know, fluff, SmackDown, irrelevant guys that I disagree with, but I'm just calling it how we're watching it on television for 5 months. Then they get into a cool rivalry with Braun, and actually it worked. I think it worked, of course, for the bad guys, all three of them who just won. But then earlier on this podcast, you have Zayn dropping the title right away, so you can't be as high or as hot as them as you're saying. Braun Strowman for 10 months has been irrelevant. He's been irrelevant. Sami Zayn, what's the other rivalry that he had?
All right. You're sort of right, and at the same time, you're also, again, forgetting the situation that we're in. Like, ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, in a normal situation, you're generally right with this, with exactly what you're saying. But this is not a normal situation. This isn't like Roman Reigns tore his Achilles and he suddenly can't wrestle, and it's before, you know, we're going, you know, in front of the crowd, we've got a live Raw, a live SmackDown, all this, you know, time to build it up. And then we got a new show the following week. Like, they're in this boat where they had to like whip together some stuff and tape it all. And then probably potentially even weeks, multiple weeks of the show, there's, you know, curfews in effect and rules stating they can't have so many people. So that being said, like, looking at the SmackDown roster, looking at who's available, if you don't, you know, do something off the wall, and I get it, it was completely off the wall to bring Matt Riddle up and have him win this match. I understand that. I wasn't really realistically thinking that it could happen. But based on the circumstances, there's no reason that Braun Strowman can't fit that role. Like, if he instantly, because they have no other choice, was thrown into a match, and he smashed Goldberg and walked out of there as the champion, like, they could immediately start rebuilding him up to being who he should be. And again, that's their own fault. Like, this is, I mentioned the women's revolution. The men's roster has been just as ridiculed and beaten up by their refusal to put the belts on some of these people. That's my number one complaint of all of anything that WWE has done in the last decade, is its refusal to put the world title on more than a few people, and to continually, and this is for men and women, and to hold on to these same few people hold on to these titles for so long. It just tells you that if they don't believe in these people, so why should we as fans believe it? And that's the exact problem you just mentioned with Sami Zayn, Nakamura, and Cesaro. We believed in all three of those guys when they were battling in NXT. We believed in Braun Strowman when he first was given his shot. You know, we believe in a lot of these guys, and then all of a sudden they get near the top, and then their company's like, no, just kidding. They're not good enough to win a title. So, you know, let's just throw them back down.
Okay. And this will be our last thing, because this has incredible, probably the longest podcast I've ever been a part of. So this has been awesome. It's been fun. Maybe we'll do something that weekend.
I do appreciate all the listeners. If you stuck through, I do appreciate you. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope those of you that are listening, if you had a chance to all sit down and listen to it at one time, that's great. If you had to split it up into multiple listenings, hey, that's fine too. just, you know, I appreciate everybody supporting. But all right, yeah, let's hear this final point. You're right, it has been a lengthy one. Let's hear that final point you want to.
Yeah, hopefully our listeners pause the Tiger King and getting, you know, come on, just let your mind go and listen to a great show. So hopefully they did that. The championship in long time reigns and not giving it to a lot of people. And hey, this is probably a whole other podcast for another time, but I just know how you're, to me, probably any other brand, you're pro NXT. The show is on fire. The show is amazing. Every takeover, their champion, Adam Cole, has been the longest reigning champion in all of WWE. So if it's done correctly, it's good. And then with that, the champions, there's only a certain few, any era. That's the game. Like the Attitude Era, there was five champions. Those guys hot potato back and forth to each other.
You want a stat really quick that will blow your mind? The Attitude Era is defined typically from WrestleMania's 13 through 17, the 4 years, 14 through 17, the Stone Cold winning the title to Stone Cold shaking Vince McMahon's hand at WrestleMania. This is what is pretty much defined as the Attitude Era. 48 months of time. There were 24 world titles that changed hands in those 48 months of time. 24 times in 48 months. That means on average, every 2 months, the world title changed hands.
How many different guys?
I don't have that exact number, so I don't want to quote myself and be wrong. And that's fine if it's the same handful of guys. If at least if it's changing hands, you're bringing excitement to it.
No, I agree with that. That's to me a different point, a different argument of. I just felt like you were saying, hey, let's make Cesaro champion this month, then Strowman, then Goldberg, and then Riddle, and then it can be the summer of Reigns, and then it can be the fall of Fiend. I just think that when you water it down with number of guys, it gets bad. Dude, if they went every other month, I do miss. It seems like back in the day when we would watch it, you would see a new rivalry happen on Raw, and then they fought for 3 months, and sometimes they would. The bad guy would beat the good guy the first month. The second month, there would be a swerve. And then the third month, The Rock would win the title back. And like that's what I mean. It just kept on going back and forth, but with the same certain of guys. I just
when we do this episode, when we do this, have this discussion, and we talk about these titles, I'll even bring up the Ruthless Aggression Era, which I think was even better than the Attitude Era. And you mentioned Edge, who is a 13-time world champion, and Randy Orton, who is a 14-time world champion, and Triple H, who won many of his 15 times, and John Cena, who won his 16 times, and Rey Mysterio, and Kane, and Undertaker, and Mark Henry, and Chris Jericho, and Chris Benoit, and Eddie Guerrero. I mean, how many of these guys, like, think about how many guys won that title and all of a sudden became star. JBL. JBL became a Hall of Famer, because he was given the world title. Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit were put over finally because they won the world titles. So, you know, that's the main difference. That's the number one difference between Eddie Guerrero and Cesaro is the fact that they gave Eddie Guerrero that shot.
The whole recording might be deleted now. WWE might come to each other's houses, and you said the CB name, and they might come and just delete this whole hour and 40-minute masterpiece of gold that we've been recording. So hopefully you didn't say it loud. You can't say that name.
All right. But you're right. We're getting off into another tangent. We probably do need to wrap this up. We have now officially reached the length of two episodes of Tiger King. So I hate to, you know, remove the viewers from having to listen to that. It's been great. You are my first official guest on That Guys Wrestling Podcast. I do appreciate you, you know, coming on and spending this time. You mentioned you've got 19 kids running around your house. You got a lot going on in your home. So for you to give me this time to enjoy, you know, to come on here, I do appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, so, man. It was awesome. Yeah. I will always love talking professional wrestling with you. And, yeah, man, hopefully all the listeners just keep on staying with us, keep on growing. And, you know, easily the best way you can download and subscribe the podcast, you can watch it or subscribe on YouTube. Anytime you put out an episode, every time you're going to see that guy's wrestling podcast, if you subscribe to the Fight Bananas YouTube channel, boom, you'll just get it. And you know how much we're going to charge him? Absolutely free, because we have amazing sponsors like Fusion CBD Products. Go to FusionCBDProducts.com. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah. So I look forward to watching WrestleMania. I do look forward to, you know, to seeing where we were right, where we were wrong, how that turns out. And the next time you hear from me will be after WrestleMania. I'll do my WrestleMania recap, and I'll discuss how I was right and how Dave was wrong. So once again, thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining us on That Guy's Wrestling Podcast. Have a great day, everyone.